Now it's time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist, Joey Bia's research grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Today's show is about the oasis that I created outside my front door. Me, when I walk out the door, I am surrounded by chili peppers. And you all know by now that I love chilies, did research on chilies, herbs, annual and perennial flowers, organically grown plants. Last winter, I built a table for four, purchased some upscale wooden folding chairs with pads, and I could entertain my company surrounded by, like, it's container growing heaven out there. And I'm telling you, it's all organic. Got a nice rocking chair out there as well. And this type of garden that I'm going to speak to you about right now is great for homes. It's great for apartments and townhouses. It is the absolute perfect thing. And this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or in one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. First, let's begin by the selection of types of pots to use. Plastic, ceramic, or clay. I use a variety of them. Some are for color, some are for their artistic value, you know, their look, and some are the clay pots. And the clays are specifically for my chili peppers. Clays and chilies go perfect together. So, you know, with my chili pepper research, you know, I was the can't even speak. I'm excited about it. I was the director of the labs there. And, you know, with the chilies and bringing them on over, you can go to chiliplants.com. My great friend Janie owns the farm there. She's got over 500 varieties of chilies from around the world, tomatoes, basils, all that. Well, knowing that I actually have all these chilies here, you know, some of them are so hot. And by the way, I eat hotter than most people, but they're so hot that I grow many of them for a crushed red pepper seed. Because, well, you know, what happens if you can dry your own, you know, peppers, crush them, and put them in your shakers, when you're cooking, you can actually control the amount of heat. And I use centennials, which are these tiny little pecan ones, and they are perennials. See, most people don't even realize this, but chili peppers are perennials, and you can actually keep them from year to year. I bring mine indoors, because remember, I have them in pots. This is the great thing about container growing. And some of my chilies are 3, 4, 5 years old. And every year I always put out a new one or two. I'm down to the farm, pick one up, and one or two new ones because, you know, there is a life cycle to them. I'm talking chilies now, but we're going to get into all the plants in a second. Well, you need a small, like if you're going to do your actual planting. So here we are, we're going to pot up something. The first thing you want to make sure is you've got a few small little rocks. You've got some organic soils, and buying organic soils now is very easy. Some of the major places now all carry the organic soil, and you want to get organic potting soil, not organic seed starting soil, real important, and you want a paper towel. You see, you need, it doesn't matter whether it's a clay pot, plastic, ceramic, you need hole or holes in the bottom. Sometimes even with the plastics that don't have any holes, I just take my drill, and I will drill holes into the bottom. Tough to do with the clay and ceramic. You really need a carbide tip for that. I wouldn't recommend it because they would crack easy. So just purchase those with holes because you do need drainage. And working in a nursery growing up, one that sold plants, not kids, get them a little humor there. And old Italian guy Al taught me you put a little piece of paper towel at the bottom because if you don't, as you're watering a plant, your soil runs out of the bottom. So put a little piece of paper towel at the bottom, some type of just small stones in there, pot shards, if you have broken clay pots and, you know, a lot of gardeners, we call them pot shards, put them at the bottom and then put your soil because now you have great drainage for it. And if you want to learn all about how to pot those plants, you can go to joeyb.tv, joeyb.tv, and I have great shows on container growing. But don't leave now, but you can watch Inspector Dave and I talk all about them. Now, the watering needs for container-grown plants. It's relative to sun exposure and the type of material your porch or patio is made of. So you see, mine is made of this beautiful sedimentary rock. And the way my porch came about is when I first moved here, I'm here 19 years now, I live in this beautiful place, beautiful, just gorgeous old oak trees near me. Well, I had a 150-year-old oak come down and saw my house in half, literally. And it took us a while to rebuild the home. And when I was rebuilding the porch, I went out and found this beautiful sedimentary rock, great striations running through it, built curved stairs, and it just added to the ambiance of my Southwest home. But by putting the pots on there, sun exposure, it heats up, which means that on real hot summer days, I've got to get out there and water early morning and sort of early evening as well. But you just, you know, so what I'm saying to you is your watering needs are respective of really what your porch or patio is made of. Some of you have block patios, et cetera. Some of you have grass little places that you're putting some of the pots in. So you got to figure all that out. So now I am out at first light. This is just me. I happen to be the absolute morning guy. So it's a cup of Joey, because I'm Joey, not Joe. So it's a cup of Joey with my watering pal, and I'm out there, and I, you know, it's the best time. If you don't know this, whether it's your regular garden or container growing, this is the best time to harvest crops. Farmers know this because, so it doesn't matter whether it's for your farm, your garden, your porch, because this is when the fruits or vegetables have the most water inside of them, so they're going to be the juiciest, so that's when you want to do your harvest. So to maintain organic principles in your container growing, you need to use two organics, very inexpensive. You need to buy kelp and fish emulsion. You can buy them in separate bottles, and you can buy bottles that are mixed together. I use the separate bottles. And when you're doing your transplanting, kelp is great for a number of things, but I'm just going to give you one simple little thing, and it is great for stress reduction. No, you can't take a sip yourself, but it's great for stress reduction when you're doing that. Now, my first outdoor crop, think about this, I'm thinking about crops now in my container growing, is a cold weather crop. Arugula lettuce, it is absolutely my favorite in the history of the world. You have to check your planting date for you around your part of the country. What is your acceptable planting date? Where I live, I'm in a cold climate. St. Patrick's Day for cold weather crops, they can go in. So I've got arugula growing here. I've got arugula down the road at Inspector Dave's Organic Garden. And I'm going to get some here. His wife, Diane, absolutely, I have to battle her for the arugula over there. Absolutely loves that. But it's easy to grow. Hey, lettuce, I mean, you put it and it's grown. And see, many people always wait for even if you're growing heads of romaine or something. Well, the old Italian guy, Al, back to the nursery, Al said, you just keep cutting the leaves off. And as you cut the leaves off, instead of it just going into a head form, it just keeps growing more leaves. And instead of getting one head of lettuce from that single, what would be a head of lettuce, you're probably going to get 5, 6, 7 heads, you know, that many leaves. So we just keep cutting them. And it's a short-term crop. And it's also a fall crop, too. So you can put your lettuces back in the fall. So you're going to get that early spring, you know, and by the time it's ripe, you know, call it late fall crop of lettuce, and that's great. Now, one of my plastic containers are filled with some of my favorite herbs: rosemary, sage, thyme, chives, tarragon. They are perfect, like the mixture of them, perfect for chicken, because I happen to be a chickenaholic, just love chicken, and I'm a fish guy too, just happen to love fish. Tarragon grows great on it. So those herbs, because that pot grows close to my home, it's actually right outside my porch, right outside my front door. And if you don't know this, obviously things heat up or stay heated. I can actually grow herbs just about most of them. The rosemary sort of dies down a little bit, but all winter long, because the heat exuding from my home, you know, from the walls, etc., keeping that porch a little bit warmer. And it's not an enclosed porch either. And I get my herbs really just about all winter long. You see, going back to the old Italian guy, Al. And by the way, when Al came from Italy, he only had a third grade education, because we would talk about this. And this is when I was in college. You know, I'm at Rutgers and I'm coming back to work. And I never considered anything I did work, because if I'm playing with plants or out in the wild, I am just having fun. And that third grade education, but Al was brilliant when it came to plants. And he would actually have a cold frame next to his home that he would start crops. But in the wintertime, he'd replace and even put some of his potted plants, his container plants, inside that, because it's next to his home. He'd cover them with hay. and he'd go out there and he'd lift off the hay and he'd pick some herbs or whatever he had and cover it back over. So there's another little hint for you. Hey, maybe you're not container growing, but you have a little cold frame next to your house. So that works. Now, I also have a pot out there with chamomile, parsley, basil. And I'm not a big basil guy, but some people when I'm cooking, and cilantro, because I make a lot of pico de gallo because I am the Southwest guy. And every year I have an experimental crop. And this year my experimental crop happens to be cumin. So we'll give it a go. I'll see how it grows. We'll go from there. With containers, tomatoes do very well, but you want to get determinate plants. And determinate simply means that they're going to grow to a specific height. Because if it's indeterminate, it just keeps growing taller and taller and taller. So if your container growing, you want to find that. And it's easy. You can check that out. Baby eggplants, because even in a large garden, I always recommend baby eggplants. Because think about this. If a plant has to put all this energy into making a large eggplant, you can actually grow baby eggplants, and now you're going to harvest them in the garden. Your plant then goes to, you know, producing more energy to make baby ones. No joke, because Inspector Dave in his organic garden, where there's a brilliance over there, in his garden, I'd say he probably has 3 or 4 baby eggplant plants. No joke, probably gets 300 to 400, because again, he's brilliant at what he does, 300 to 400 baby eggplants during the season. Now, mixed in with my edible plants, and my my fruits and vegetables, I have a number of annual and perennial flowers. You see, I just love, hey, when I was at Rutgers, one of my degrees is in botany. You need to find me at Rutgers. You looked in a greenhouse. I was there. Well, two of the plants that I grow that are companion plants. Companion plants simply means help, the one plant helps another type of thing. So, you know, you think about a human helping another human. This is a plant helping a plant. One of them helps to repel insects, and that's basil. And I don't know if you know this, but you should be growing basil next to all of, you know, just intermixed into your regular vegetable garden. But I have it growing out there. I've got because Janie at chiliplants.com down at the farm, every year I buy this. It's a miniature leaf basil, so the plant itself does not grow very tall. And I got these tiny little leaves, so if I'm going to plant with it, that's great, but I actually do it for that reason, you know, for the battling insects, because it helps control insects. And the other one, believe it or not, are marigolds. And you know what? The great thing about marigolds, they come in many different colors, many varieties of petals. So plant those throughout your planters as well. My next flower, which is one of my favorite flowers, are Gerber daisies. And let me tell you, Gerber daisies, beautiful, big old flowers. And some of my pots, because, you know, many of the pots I will leave out there of wintertime. I explained to you about the herbs and things like that. But the other rest of them I bring inside. And one year I bring a pot of my Gerbers inside down into the basement. Just a small little window is down there, a little bit of light. So, you know, I didn't pull the, and typically because you should be pulling out all your plants that you're, you know, and I didn't pull the Gerber out and died off. Well, over the winter, I see a leaf coming up. And I see a leaf, just one single leaf, and I go, wow, an arugula seed grew here. Wow, it's pretty cool. I said, I'll bring that upstairs. Because remember I said I bring my chilies in upstairs, beautiful big picture window with all this great sunlight. So I said, I can get some arugula going here. So I bring it up, and I see the second leaf, and I'm going, I don't think that's arugula. But I said, well, I'll just keep what? And bink, all of a sudden, I'm telling you, this plant was not watered probably for 2 months. And all of a sudden I watered it, and bravo, I've got a Gerber growing indoors. So I now realize Gerbers do very well. So if you wanted to keep your Gerbers alive, you can bring them inside. Well, the perennials, one of my pots I have out there are mums. And chrysanthemums, most people think about them as fall flowers because that's when farmers make sure they're ready because they're looking for a fall crop, if you didn't know that. Because any mum that you ever get as a gift, most people just discard them. Again, we have so much biomass going into the regular trash, and it should be recycled. But what I'm going to tell you right to do is plant those mums somewhere. I planted one of the mums in one of the big old pots. So every year, I just put a couple of annual flowers, most times in patience, right in front of them. But in the middle of the summer, because I actually have two different mums that flower at different times. I have another one on a different piece of the property, not in a pot. And so, you know, one of my pots actually has, and it just, again, if you don't know, mums are perennials and they come back year after year. So those people that just keep, you know, they grow them, you know, or buy them near Halloween, put them out as a decoration, throw them away. Don't throw them away. So that's one of them. And I replace my lettuce with begonias, just a flower that I happen to like. Because remember, the lettuce is a, once the heat comes and you get into June, well, the lettuces die out. We call bolting. They go to seed. So I pop those out and I replace those pots. I have this long, just a long planter, about 3 feet long. It's perfect lettuce pot, but it's also perfect to pop all my begonias inside there. Now, one of the perennials that people don't even know is it's similar to a trailing arbutus that I have. And I purchased it 1 year, don't even know the name of it. And it just keeps coming back. It's yellowish in color. Really cool. And I put I'm babbling out. I put a Gerber daisy right in the middle of that trailing arbutus. And the other one is vinca vines. And people don't think about vinca vines as being perennials. They just grow them. And once again, nurseries are selling them as annual plants. And people have this thought in their mind. Well, I'm going to let you know, if you plant that vinca next year, you're going to have some of the most early spring, some of the most vibrant blue, call them closer to purple, flowers. It's brilliant. So I've got vincas inside there as well. I also grow some Mexican sunflowers, which are huge, so you have to have a big old pot for that. And one of my favorite annuals are cosmos, just delicate, so many different varieties, so many different colors. And for critter control, see, here's the deal. Insects, believe it or not, that attack plants, aphids, things like that, they actually see wavelengths of colors that we do not see. And they will attack plants that are, you know, sickly-looking plants. Well, I'm going to let you know that kelp actually helps the plant stay healthy. And so as you're giving your plant kelp during the year, and what I typically do is, you know, 1 week my plants get kelp, next week my plants get fish emulsion, which are nutrients, and you're going back and forth. And by the way, fish emulsion, yes, it smells like fish, rotten fish. And again, you're mixing it with water, so it's not a bad smell. So you just gotta be careful. If you're having company that day, I would not fish emulsion your plants. But by the next day, the smell is actually gone because you're rewatering. It's already down into the soil. But the kelp will actually keep the bad bugs away because it keeps your plants looking healthy. And if your plant is healthy, it's not giving off those wavelengths of light that the bad critters or bad bugs want to see. Now, I've got lots of Southwest pottery out there because, hey, I'm a Southwest type of guy, Native American pottery. I even have a couple ceramic cowboy boots. One of them is so realistic looking. Last winter, I take a picture on my porch because we've got big snows, and the boot is shoveled around, and the boot is just sticking out near some of the snows. And I just said something like, just a fun little comment, and put a, you know, I have my social media gal, and she's always posting on Tumblr and Twitter and Flickr, Facebook. I have no idea where our photos go to. It's just like, hand it off and take care of it. Well, I took a photo of the boot in the snow, and I put something to the effect like, man, I guess I left these out too long. And people are going, oh, you really ruined that pair of boots. It was a piece of ceramic pottery. I'm just joking, but it looks so real. So you can get some really cool looking things that go out there. And you can put, you know, your different, again, you create your own little oasis. This happens to be on my front porch. Well, out my back by my fire pit, I've got a number of other pots that are outside there. So I've got container growing out there near the fire pit. I've got a tiny little chimenea on the front porch. No, I don't light it. It's just really cool looking, probably about 3 foot. Bought it a few years back, and it's just ornamental. Sometimes just even put a candle in there if you're having company just to make it look nice. You know, you're driving up to a home. It just really just looks nice, the aesthetic value of it. Well, how about attracting birds? In one of my pots, I have hibiscus, and they're delicate with temperatures, so you have to be careful with them. But during the hummingbird migration, the hibiscus is a major attractor. So I'll just use my front one, not my back container growing. Just keep going with that. The hibiscus is out there. And I'll be sitting out there in a rocking chair, actually writing a show like this one, sitting there. And you got hummingbirds just zipping in. So really cool. And I've got one of my bird feeders because right outside my front porch, I've got a nice ornamental cherry tree. Bird feeders are inside of there. Got a birdhouse for the house wren because one of my recent podcast shows was on the house wren. So you can check that out, but don't leave this show to get that one. So finish this show and then go to the house wren. You can even check ones on bird feeders. If you happen to be a birder, there's some good stuff for you. But hey, since I am the outdoor guy, there's good stuff for everyone out there. So how my porch was reconditioned, I guess, in a nice way, so that 150-year-old oak crushing my front porch, putting the rounded stairs in, You know, it created this oasis for me. So I move into a quiet, peaceful place to write shows like this. A little country music, because that's who I am. A glass of Merlot, not in the morning. I'd have Joey in the morning. Remember that Joe in the morning? Or Merlot at night. And finishing time, you know, just for my company to arrive, sitting out there in the oasis. And it is just a great place to be. So you can get out there and do some container growing. Until next time, enjoy life's adventures. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.